Hello, and welcome to Introducing Me. I'm your host, Sarah. I started this podcast to get to know other people and lifestyles while discovering more about myself. Each episode, I'll give a new guest a chance to discuss their background, culture, interests, or whatever they want to talk about to help increase all of our own worldviews. Today, I would like to introduce you to Ben. He hosts a podcast, which is how I found out about him, but he also recently graduated from Susquehanna University. He is 23 years old and is an entrepreneurial expert, has so many things going on, so I'm excited to hear a little bit about him and hear some stories about what he's up to. So Ben, thank you so much. Why don't you go ahead and say hello? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks so much for having me. I am really excited to be here. You mentioned I'm an entrepreneurial expert. I don't know about that, but I just like to try a bunch of different things, learn a ton about different areas, industries, etc., and see if it sticks. But so those are the things I do outside of my day job. My day job currently is I'm a financial analyst at Morgan Stanley in Baltimore, Maryland. Outside of work, I have my own podcast called Aspire and Inquire, and I'm the co-founder of a retail clothing apparel company called Bleached Apparel with current SU students, of course, the school that we both graduated from, as well as an alumni as well. So it's been really cool to do all these things outside of work to just learn a bunch about different things. And sometimes you learn a ton about different areas and they all interact with the thing you focus on most, which is one of the interesting things I've learned.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, everyone who gets into entrepreneurship, you know, not everything's going to stick, not everything's going to come to fruition. And I think anyone, honestly, who tries something new and gets at least somewhere with it, you know, I called you an expert. I think that's an okay term, even if, you know, you're not doing 20 million different things. So can you talk a little bit about how either of these things that you've talked about, how they've gotten started? What sparked the interest?
Yeah, so I love telling the podcast introduction, that story. So it was senior week at Susquehanna. We were just about getting ready to graduate. I graduated in 2019. And I go around to my peers and I ask them, oh, what are you doing after this? What are your plans for after school? Now, I wasn't expecting anyone to say, I'm going to live in this town. I'm going to have this specific job. I'm going to have 5 kids and a dog. No, I was not expecting any of that. What I was expecting is, you know, I'm interested in finance or marketing, and I got this entry-level job. Really excited to see where it goes. Something like that, right? Or I'm currently interviewing for this. I would say, unfortunately, 75% of the people said, I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to do next. What I figured is there were two ends of the spectrum. One, some students were just lazy and did not set themselves up. There are a percentage of people who, unfortunately, fall in that side of the spectrum. The complete other side of the spectrum is a lot of people didn't have parents that were in their industry that they wanted to go into. Maybe they just didn't know where to go on campus for help. They didn't network with individuals, etc. I think the majority of people fall in the middle of those two. And one of the things I did in college and in my free time a lot was I set up networking calls with mostly alumni because it was just the easiest to have the susqu.edu email and email them for a conversation. Usually they responded. And so I would schedule 20, 30-minute calls with these individuals, and I'd have great conversations with them. I would learn so much. It was mostly in the realm of finance and all over finance, though, from investment banking to equity research to management consulting to portfolio management, all across the board. And I learned so much through these conversations, made connections with these individuals, and learned a ton. Now, I was talking with a friend of mine who I became very close with. He was in my fraternity. His name is Jin Zhang. And we had the same or similar mindset in that just speaking with people, you learn so much. And he noticed the same thing, where a lot of SU grads didn't really know what they were doing. And we said, you know what? Why don't we just do the same thing that we had both been doing, which was those networking conversations, and just speak with people across all different industries to help people gain insight into their various paths. There was a statistic that I saw. The average adult in their adult life spends 90,000 hours at work. That's a lot of hours. So you might as well like the job or the industry that you're working in rather than just, you know, collecting a paycheck and working 9 to 5 and just calling it a day. I think life's too important and too short for that. So yeah, that was the origin story of why Jin and I started Aspire and Inquire.
Awesome. Now, have you learned anything or talked to anyone that's made you want to change your future career path?
I wouldn't necessarily say that because I don't know what my career path's going to be yet. What I will say is I've spoken with such incredibly diverse individuals from a career standpoint. And I've spoken with a world famous opera singer, Lisette Oropeza, all the way to an Australian architect, a recent graduate who's in architecture, to a Susquehanna grad who's a portfolio manager at Vanguard. I mean, it's incredible the range that I've been able to unearth and speak about, because I don't know anything about a lot of different industries, but I will say, having these conversations with these people, selfishly, yes, of course, I learn a little bit, which is great. But hopefully listeners who are tuning in are themselves connecting with these individuals and then creating their own connections and knowledge, network, et cetera. That's the whole goal.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's the same thing with me and why I started the podcast, you know, learn more for myself, but also to have other people hear different stories. Now, you're currently in finance. What interests you about finance, and what do you at least see in the near future doing in finance?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, I'm at Morgan Stanley in Baltimore. It's been an incredible experience working at Morgan Stanley. A lot of companies talk about their culture and how they put it to the forefront, but you can say it and then you can just show it without telling. And that's what Morgan Stanley does. From a culture standpoint, it really is incredible. They show that diversity inclusion is really important. Having that culture where you can learn from each other, can learn and grow, make mistakes, and then learn from them. I see it time and time again from both an organization standpoint and on my individual team. So what I like about finance is it really touches in every aspect of life. We have the ultimate sign of trust in money. It's just a figment of imagination that we made up to put a value on. We said, all right, $1 has this amount of value. And we all just kind of agreed to it, which is fascinating. But why I like finance is money and finance, whether you're working at a nonprofit, whether you are an author writing a book, it goes the full range. You need to make money to be able to bring something into fruition, whether it's, again, a small podcast where you and I both bought our equipment, all the way to a nonprofit being able to send shoes to third world countries. Like, money and finance is the backbone of all that. And that's why I find it so fascinating, because I think it is very important to bring ideas into fruition. I think that is the basics for me.
Nice. Now, an apparel company, nothing to do with finance, not, you know, more bigger picture like the podcast. So how did the apparel company get started?
Yes. Yeah, so my friend Charlie Riley, SU grad of 2020, he's a graphic design major at Susquehanna, and he was in my fraternity as well, Tau Kappa Epsilon. And we had gotten close over the years. We actually lived together one semester when I came back from abroad. And We'd become close. He had FaceTimed me one night. I think I was speaking with another Tau Kappa Epsilon member, and he happened to be in the same, I think it was the 18th Street house. And Charlie said, hey, Ben, I've got this clothing idea. Should I start it? I was like, yes, absolutely. Do it. I didn't care what it was. I'm always for just going and trying things. So I said, yes, Charlie, go start it now. Do it. You can do this. And he had begun to talk with me about the development of the idea. He had a couple people in mind that he would like to join the team. And the following weekend, we had a phone call. And he asked me if I would be the CFO of the company, the chief financial officer, because the people he had in mind were more artistic, right-brained, I guess you could say. And he asked me to be on the team. And so it's called Bleached Apparel. It's a, as you might be able to tell from the name, bleached and dyeing clothes. And that was the basic aspect of it. And it's been a really fun journey to see where that's gone with the small team we've got.
Awesome. That's really cool that, you know, you were super encouraging to one of your fraternity members and it's turned into something really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned that you studied abroad. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, that was a huge turning point in my life, I would say. So I had the opportunity to take the incredible Sigmund Weiss School of Business London program experience. I was able to have an internship while abroad, while being in London at a startup real estate company, while also being able to travel and even take a few classes with British professors. So it was an incredible experience from when you talk about culture shock. London is very similar to a city like New York City. So I'm from New York, not the city, about an hour north of it. But I consider New York City my home to a certain extent. And it's a very similar city. Obviously, there's the more entrenched culture aspect in London where there's diversity, extreme diversity in London and New York. But it was an incredible experience overall. Is there something more specific that you'd like to point to? Because I could talk about it for hours. I really could.
Could you talk a little bit about what it was like working on your internship in a British company?
Yeah, so this was really cool. A really cool experience. So one of the coolest aspects of the Sigmund Weiss School of Business London program is the fact that you get an abroad internship. Now, from a personal and professional development standpoint, this is one of the best things I think anyone can do. Just an internship in general, but an abroad internship working with people of different backgrounds and different cultures, it was incredible. So I was able to work at a startup real estate company with, it was an employee, the founder and CEO I worked directly with, and there was a part-time guy who was there as well. So they were a startup that focused on buying and holding bed and breakfast, B&Bs. So they would buy the property and rent it out and hopefully make a profit. And it was really interesting. He focused on London, England, and even parts of the other parts of the UK. And it was a really cool experience because, first of all, this was an incredibly intelligent individual I got to work with, who had investment banking experience, one of the most desired spots in finance. And I learned a lot about what a startup really looks like and how difficult it is to get off the ground. This guy was the accountant, he was the salesman, he was the, I guess you could call him the CEO. It was an enlightening experience.
Awesome. And where did you travel when you were there for London? Where else did you get to see?
Yeah, I went to Athens, Greece. I went to Oktoberfest in Munich. I went to Rome, Italy, Galway, Ireland. I went to Stockholm, Sweden. Paris for a day. One of my roommate and I decided to go to Paris. We went at 5 a.m. and came back the same day, 10 p.m. That was one hell of an experience. And let's see, did I miss anything? I probably did, but it was, and then other parts of England, like Bath, Stonehenge, seeing Stonehenge. It was an amazing experience.
And did you ever have any issues being an American in any of those different cities?
So I would say normally Munich would have been an issue, but because it's all Americans at Oktoberfest in Munich anyway, that was not an issue. The very interesting situations were the countries where I didn't speak the language and I was there by myself. I went to Stockholm, Sweden with a friend. It was just us two. Actually, there were two others, but they didn't come with us. I don't speak Swedish. I most definitely do not. So we had to just figure things out. You have to talk to the locals. We even got some stuff stolen at one point. That was a whole nother story. But learning to trust people you don't know and being able to not judge someone, but learn about someone before even speaking with them, I think that's an interesting skill to have. And that's something I learned from that experience. But because I didn't speak the language, I had to know where my hostel was. I had to know where good restaurants were. And of course, you can do your own research. But talking with locals, if they do happen to speak English or a little French like I speak, it was a cool experience for that reason.
And how, if they didn't speak English or you weren't able to communicate in French, how did you cross that divide?
Normally it was hand gestures or I tried to speak slower in English. Luckily, what I did find in Sweden is, I mean, they say French is the political language, like laissez-faire and all these names. English, I would say, is the world language. So I was lucky enough where most people did speak English, at least broken English. And so speaking slower, hand gestures, signals, that's how I survived.
And where is there anywhere that you wanted to go that you didn't get the chance?
One of the spots, I definitely wanted to see other parts of Italy. I only got to see Rome. I wanted to see Venice. I wanted to see Portugal. I did not get to go there. I wanted to see other parts of Northern Europe, like Finland and Norway, Oslo, Norway, a lot of people went to. So I definitely have a lot more other spots in Europe that I still have to hit. So after the pandemic, you know I'll be gone.
Definitely. Yeah. Once the pandemic calms down and we can travel again, there's a lot of places that we can all still go to. A lot of the places you mentioned, I went to when I did the London program through the Sigmund Weiss School of Business. So it's always fun to hear what other people did and the different opportunities that people took. Now, what is it like living in Baltimore?
So this was another cool experience that I had in the fact that I had actually never been to Baltimore once in my entire life before moving here. And what I really liked, of course, there's the stresses that come with that. Not knowing the area, not knowing even the basic things like where is a barber or where are the food spots that I'll be hitting, all the way to, okay, wait, I got to get a new license. I have to get insurance. Where is my job? How am I going to commute? You know, the endless number of questions. It was, first of all, I came to Baltimore because my college roommate, my best friend, he had interned in Baltimore, and he then took a full-time job at that same company in Baltimore. So I was looking at what I was going to do after school. And I thought one of the cool things would be, hey, why don't we just continue living with each other after school? And he was like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And so Morgan Stanley was on my radar from networking conversations I had had, as well as just personal relationships that I had had just from growing up in New York. And there was an opportunity to, I had two opportunities at Morgan Stanley, both a finance and operations back office position. I ended up taking the finance position, and yeah, that's how I got to Baltimore. And one thing that's really cool about Baltimore is, and really any big city, is the diversity. So I grew up about an hour north of New York City in a Westchester County, in a very affluent area where there's a lack of diversity. Plain and simple. It's a great place to grow up, an incredible education I received. I have great relationships that I still have to this day, but it was not diverse. In Baltimore, it is pretty much the flip side of that. It is extremely diverse, and I have grown to really, really appreciate that because of my experience here.
So do you think that you want to stay in a major city, or are you thinking of possibly moving back out somewhere that's a little less busy?
I don't know what my future looks like, whether it's staying at Morgan Stanley for the rest of my life, whether it's leaving the company in the future and going elsewhere. One thing I have come to like is taking risk wherever I can. Calculated risks, not just saying, screw this, I'm going to do this. Calculated risks, of course. One of those is moving to a new city, a new state, a new country even. I love my experience in London. It was only 3 months. What I've been telling people is whatever comes my way, I'm open to, whether it's a new job opportunity, whether it's new relationships. I love cultivating and creating meaningful relationships with people. I am open to moving across the world if the right opportunity comes my way. I do like the experience of living in a big city. It's got its pros and cons, just like living in the middle of nowhere in Susquehanna does. But there, yes, I would be open to living in another big city.
Awesome. And what is it like being farther away from your family? If that's too personal, that's okay. But obviously, you know, you're not exactly close to New York being down in Baltimore.
Yeah, so it's definitely been interesting. It's actually the same distance from home that I was at Susquehanna. So it's about 3.5 hour drive, which isn't terrible. I grew up, my mom's side of the family lives in Pittsburgh. So I did an 8.5-9 hour drive, you know, 5 or 6 times a year going up. One thing I do like is driving, and I'm used to the longer drives. It's definitely interesting being in a city away from home compared to a very enclosed college campus, because it shows you how big the world really is. And I guess you don't get that sense at Susquehanna when you've got this enclosed, structured schedule where it's like, yes, I got to go to class at this time. I got to be here. I don't think I went home for a weekend more than twice in my 4 years at Susquehanna. Whereas with remote work being so prevalent, I've gone home quite a few times since March.
And what was your experience like at Susquehanna? Were you okay with that kind of enclosed, structured lifestyle?
Yeah, I tried to involve myself at Susquehanna a ton, getting involved in a bunch of different activities. So I was captain of the tennis team. That was one reason why I came to Susquehanna. I got recruited to play tennis. I had heard about the incredible business education, so I tried to engulf and involve myself in everything I possibly could. So with a couple other fraternity brothers, so as I mentioned, I was also in Tau Kappa Epsilon. That was an incredible experience. My best friends are in my fraternity. And with a couple of fraternity brothers, we started an investment club at school, River Capital Student Investment Club, where we received money from the business school to actually start a fund and actually invest in the stock market. So I tried to do as many things as I could, meet a lot of people, and learn a ton.
And obviously, like with fraternity life, a lot of things are secretive. But would you be able to dispel some of the myths of what the public think fraternity life is like and talk about a little bit of your experience in that brotherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can talk about what it's like at Susquehanna. I can tell you Greek life from Susquehanna to Penn State is quite different. But fraternity life at, and specifically Tau Kappa Epsilon at Susquehanna, it was an incredible experience. Yes, did we have our fun where we go out and drink with friends? Of course. But there was a much more deep-rooted relationship that was created between the brothers that from the outside, no one really sees. So you go through the whole processes of becoming a brother, learning a ton about the fraternity, why you're in here, what are the goals of the organization. And one of our commitments, our biggest commitments, was to community service. And as you may have known when you were there, we pride ourselves on raising the most money for St. Jude Children's Hospital. And that, in conjunction with the Susquehanna Relay for Life organization for raising money for cancer research. So we prided ourselves on raising a ton of money. And that was what the majority of our efforts went to. And what I learned about that was raising money for others is so much more meaningful than trying to make money yourself. That's one thing I learned there. And what I learned through TEEK in general is that giving back and doing it as a team rather than you just pulling money and donating is also more meaningful.
And have you had any chances to continue community service post-graduation?
Unfortunately, I have not, other than back in when I first started at Morgan Stanley. One of the things that Morgan Stanley pushes is community service, giving back. And one of the opportunities I was able to participate in was going to a broken down, I don't even remember what you would call this, but it was this broken down shack and we were rebuilding houses or parts, pieces of a shack and putting it back together. At Morgan Stanley, I haven't been able to do much. And at Susquehanna, other than the cancer research and the St. Jude organization and funding we were able to receive there, I wasn't able to do much. The most meaningful community service I've ever done was back in high school, was for Habitat for Humanity. One of the coolest things I had ever done was helped build a house for a veteran. And that was such an incredible experience. And I could always make the excuse that I don't have enough time. I clearly do, and I can make time. But unfortunately, I have not been able to continue doing that.
And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I think it's so hard, especially being in a new place, you know, figuring out what opportunities are there, where can you get involved? And especially now in a pandemic, it's not like you're going places and can join meetings and stuff like that. I think it's hard for younger people, and I don't know, maybe you don't share this opinion, but it's harder for younger people to get involved unless they know someone who's already fully established in a group and can like bring you in.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It is not easy unless you have that in or that person who can show, hey, Sarah is really good at this. She really cares about this. Let's introduce her and get her involved here. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there.
Yeah. Now, what sort of advice would you like to give? Maybe it's to college students, younger people, about their future and having an outlook similar to yours where you're willing to kind of take whatever gets thrown at you.
Yeah. So one, I'll speak on the podcast. The one thing I've learned from all these different guests is, and this isn't all that surprising, they all, just about 99% of them, I've had about 40 guests on the show. Every single one of them has said, you have to work hard to get to where you want to get to. Now, working hard, yes, you got to show up every day to work, but you have to go over that typical 9-to-5, just showing up every day. if you want to get to where you want to get to. I am nowhere near where I want to be. It's a great start at a great company with, I had a very, a great education at Susquehanna, but it's working hard, just outworking anyone. So one of the cool things I learned is you can't just be smarter than someone and automatically be better. The person that's going to win in any, whether it's a competition or whether it's just talking about being better in general, is if you are constantly thinking about that one thing. Now, for that was just from what I've learned in the podcast. It's not surprising that people say working hard is what is going to get you there. That's obvious. That's very intuitive. The thing I would say is constantly learn about different things, whether it's taking an online course on udemy.com. I do that all the time. I've tried to learn about coding, different software engineering programs, whether it's learning Python, HTML, CSS, all these different programming languages, or delving into the different realms of finance, learning about portfolio management, investment banking, venture capital, and then speaking with other people about what they do. One of the cool things is, so I love listening to podcasts. I love reading audiobooks or listening to audiobooks. If someone takes the time to write a book about something, they are bound to know more about that specific topic than 99% of other people. It might be worth spending $5 on that book or whatever it is, 5, 10, 15, 20, to read it, because the knowledge in that, it is so much more valuable than the face value, the price that you're paying for it. Constantly learning, just do as much learning as you can in many different areas, because what I've found is if you learn about different areas in the thing you're most interested in, you're going to be able to make connections with things that you never would have otherwise.
A lot of people don't like networking. So how would you recommend, you know, reaching out to people, making connections when that can be kind of terrifying?
Yeah. So that is tough. I consider myself an introvert, actually. I do like speaking with people, but what I've learned about introvert versus extrovert is if you gain energy being around people, you're an extrovert. But if you are an introvert, you have to like summon energy and bring it to the conversation with people if you're going out to a party, et cetera. I do consider myself an introvert. You have to want it. Now, speaking with people you don't know, and creating those relationships, I would say it's an art, it's a skill. If you don't like speaking with people, I think one of the cool things you could do to start out is listen to podcasts. I'll plug my own podcast, of course. I speak with a lot of different individuals in a wide variety of careers. If you want to learn about what they do, start with listening to podcasts of people, of things that interest you, whether it's figuring out what you want to do in your career. I know there's some interesting crime podcasts, listening to books. But when it comes to networking itself, I would first speak to the people that you know best, family members, professors. Everyone that you know has an interesting background in their specific field that they go into professionally. Start there. Gain your networking experience really just start with your parents. Ask them what they do. Maybe you know what they do generally, but you don't know very specifically. Then venture out into your aunts and uncles, grandparents. And you ask your aunt if they have a coworker who knows someone who knows someone else. So these things, they grow from there. That's my point. So start with the people you know best. Have these conversations with them if you're interested. And you'll learn a ton from them alone. And then venture out from there.
Awesome. That's a lot of great advice, and I really appreciate you sharing it. Now, is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners about your life, about personal finance, entrepreneurship, anything really?
So personal finance is a cool one for me. I'm obsessed with personal finance, and what I really like about it is you can truly chart out your own future financially if you just do a few simple things. Now, I thought I knew what I was doing with myself financially before, like while in college. Then I read this book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. Do you know that book?
I do not. I'm horrible at reading nonfiction, important, good books. I should do much more of it, but I don't.
Well, that's okay, because I read no fiction books and I should be doing more of that. So, but yeah, so this book is absolutely amazing. It's a very clickbait type of title, but it's an incredible book. So Ramit Sethi is a financial expert, personal finance expert, and he gives you all the tools to bring yourself to financial independence and to just financial success overall. He covers the range from budgeting to how much do you allocate to a 401k to what do I do with investments? What's the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA? What is an IRA? He covers the whole thing and the whole gamut. And it's a truly fascinating world, because as in the personal finance world, because you can, with a few simple tasks, you can get yourself on the road to a much better financial situation.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to leave that book in the description along with some other good resources. Now, before we wrap it up, I like to ask all of my guests a random question. So we've talked a lot about personal finance, about entrepreneurship, lots of good fun things. One thing we haven't talked about is technology. So my question for you is, like, what is your favorite piece of technology?
I would say Spotify is probably my favorite piece of technology. So I listen to a ton of music. I listen to even more podcasts. My Spotify Wrapped for 2020 showed I listened to almost 16,000 hours of podcasts. So it is clearly a very important software in my life. I listen to it every single day, listen to podcasts and music on there. I would have to say that is the best software technology.
Awesome. Now, do you like listen while you work, or is it more like during free time? Like, when are you listening?
Always. So I could be working out, listening to music. I could be doing my daily tasks at work, listening to podcasts or music. In the car, I'm constantly listening to podcasts or music. It's really just a constant theme in my life, whether when I'm doing any task, really.
All right, that brings this episode to a close. As I mentioned, I will be leaving the book that Ben mentioned in the description. I will also be leaving links to the websites for his podcast, his apparel company, social media links, all of that good information will be in the description. And of course, if you want to connect with this podcast, that information, as usual, is there as well. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Patreon for financial support. If you'd like to be a guest, I'm always looking for new people. Love hearing new conversations. The email is in the description as well. It is introducingmepodcast@gmail.com. And thank you, Ben, so much for spending time with me today. I loved hearing about your Susquehanna experience and everything that you've been doing since. And to my listeners, for taking the time out of your day to hear a new story. Until next time, bye.
Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it. Love the conversation. To everyone who's listening, just keep learning about everything life has to bring, whether it's personal, professional development, or anything that interests you. Keep on learning.